Welcome to EHS On Tap. I'm your host, Jay Kumar, Editor-in-Chief of EHS Daily Advisor. This week, I talked to Cameron Struther, Senior EHS Manager for Skanska, about building a strong safety culture. And now, on to the interview.
I'm joined today by Cameron Struther, Senior EHS Manager for Skanska. How's it going, Cameron?
Jay, thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being here. Before we get started, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do with Skanska.
Sure, Jay. Like you said, Senior EHS Manager with Skanska. I've been in the industry for 17 years, specifically within a environmental health and safety role. Kind of started out early on within the petrochemical industry, within refineries. Kind of moved through working on pipelines, stations, things of that nature, and then eventually got into heavy industrial construction, and now ultimately ending up in commercial construction.
Nice. I understand you won a big award recently. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Skanska, of course, as large as an organization as we are, we have several EHS professionals that are in the United States specifically. And Skanska usually goes through, looks at all their EHS professionals and what they've done throughout the year within the United States, and then selects an individual for recognition. So I was honored to find out for 2023, I was the recipient of our award. It was recognized by our company. We've had a lot of good things that we've been doing on our project specifically currently. We're currently at over 130,000 hours with no recordables, lost times, accidents. So we're really proud of that. And so it's kind of come as a shock, but certainly something that I was very proud to know that I'd earned.
Well, congrats for that. So let's talk about safety culture. What are some of the most important things to consider when you're building a strong safety culture?
So the biggest thing that I've seen both within my current role and then things that I've seen throughout my career is certainly the buy-in from the entire team. And that's not just the project level. When I see say team, that's holistic, that's all encompassing. So that's all the way from our top leadership and having our back all the way down to what we're installing at the project level. Specifically for the project that I'm on right now, we're working for the University of Texas system on a project, and they have their own safety specifications as well, in addition to those that we implement on the project. And so having that specification, things that we follow, you know, the additional auditing that comes with that, working for an owner client that takes safety seriously, that certainly helps our initiatives, but then also having the backup from our leadership also, it kind of is a twofold win-win for our safety on the job site, because we have backing from both our owner client and also within our own organization.
How do you get workers to buy into safety culture? You know, what kind of gets them engaged in it?
Throughout my career, I've really based a lot of my building a safety culture of off of building relationships with employees in the field. And so you really can't get the buy-in that you want to until you really get down to the tasks that they're performing, understanding from their perspective of what they're navigating through day in and day out, and finding out how you can improve, but also educate them on the reasons why there's certain policies, procedures, things like that, that are developed in correlation to the tasks that they're performing. And so you always want to have those relationships, because you earn the respect of those workers. And they understand that when you are talking to them about things that need to be changed or corrected, it's not coming from more of a checkbox kind of culture. It's really more of a, you know, I really care about you. I really care about the task and things like that you're doing. And I'm wanting to develop a process for you to do it safely.
Have you seen sort of the attitudes towards safety culture and safety in general change over the years that you've been working?
So it's I have a unique perspective just coming from both petrochemical and now in commercial construction, so just kind of seeing the general attitudes that you've seen over the year. So generally when it comes to construction, you've kind of had a really just need to get this done despite all the factors that we're up against, even if it means doing it unsafely. And so certainly I've seen a trend, and it's trended in a good way of where, we're more conscientious of what we're doing. We're making sure that we implement and we react to the things. Rather than react, we're proactive, looking ahead at the tasks that we're going to perform and figuring out what it is that we can do to mitigate those things ahead of time. Whether it is more of a traditional thing that we've come accustomed to, that's a industry best practice, or even looking at newer technologies that are available for the workforce.
Why do you think that that attitude has changed over the years?
I really think it's just because more organizations are taking it seriously of caring for their workers, and not just in a monetary way, but to really looking at what it is for an employee, their safety, their mental health, their well-being, what it is that they can do to support that employee and navigating all of those things that each of us experience throughout a lifetime. So I think you have companies that are really approaching safety in more than just a single line item. Now it encompasses many, many facets that tie into the bigger picture of why we're here and why we're caring about our employees from day in, day out activities.
You mentioned earlier about, having, leadership be part of that sort of team and attitude. What's the best way to get your leadership on board if you're, if you're trying to kind of, build that kind of culture?
Yeah, kind of going back to our previous question, typically production was paramount on any of your construction projects, but now that you can look at statistics, trends, we've got really good data that we can look at and see where accidents that are recurrent, things like that. So you can really start painting a picture for your leadership and showing them really the whys of the things that we're producing, we're building, we're thinking about, and we're coming up with to both help for a safer environment. This helps with time, quality of work, which is encompasses all of that, kind of the fundamentals of what you would have as a good QA QC program, within quality. Just because if we're producing quality work, utilizing quality materials, typically you don't have the hazards that are inherent of having to come back and redo something, or the hazards that come with having a building that's almost complete and having to come back and mitigate those things later on. So I think they soon find that if they're having that backup and showing that backup on the job site, that you tend to have those trends of safety accidents or incidents reduced.
And there's a financial component as well, I suppose, that you could, when you're talking to leadership, sort of you can explain that there's a cost to, if safety isn't followed properly.
Certainly. And, adding to, kind of the trend of what I'm seeing now is, organizations really were focused on the cost, and it's slowly trending to an ideology of cost shouldn't impact our decision on the safety of our employees. And so I'm seeing more of a whatever it takes kind of mentality, despite the cost, to make sure that we're getting the employees the tools and the resources they need to do their job safely.
As you can imagine, or I'm sure as you know, there's a younger generation of workers that's, sort of getting into the industry now. How do you get those younger workers and, folks who've been around for 20, 30 years on the same page when it comes to safety?
Well, that's really a challenging issue that the construction industry as a whole is dealing with. And so it's not just for safety personnel, it's also our trades within industry. And so trying to get our young people excited about the trades, the career path for those trades and how they can develop into a rewarding career for those young people that would rather go more of the trade school kind of apprentice route rather than go through a more of a college setting. So bridging that gap, giving them those trainings, resources that they can utilize to identify that career path, giving them access, early on, certainly within the high school realm, sometimes trades are pushed. Other times, it's just simply an elective that, students may or may not become aware of. And so, working with those organizations, trade partners on how you can get your young people and then involved. And then also, here on our job site, so we've got young superintendents, that have the base knowledge of construction along with the technology piece. And then we also have our younger generation of superintendents that have that large body of knowledge that are within, their 3 to 5 year retirement range. And so trying to find how we can get in a room, share those ideas, be able to collaborate in a manner that create some cohesiveness amongst that group, but then also out of those meetings, findings, we often find that we've really come up with some robust solutions that can solve a lot of our issues, both safety and within the construction process.
Do you find that having a strong safety culture is an attractive thing for younger workers who are coming in, maybe more so than it would have been, 20, 30 years ago?
It is. So, inherently within construction, you have a lot of dangerous situations throughout a construction process. And a lot of individuals, especially our young people, may be a little overwhelmed by the thought of it, especially on what I would say are large scale commercial construction projects, such as the one that I'm on. And so it's not until you're able to, get people in front of them, explain the process, explain the things that you're working through on site, where you can create the excitement. I think that's the thing that I always stress about or talk about is you come to work daily and it's something new, it's something different, it's something challenging, and it really is rewarding working through those things and coming up with those solutions that allow construction to progress on site.
What are some future safety challenges that you sort of see coming down the pike in a couple of years or so?
The biggest challenge, it kind of goes back to our exodus of our older generation and more of the traditional construction mindset that they've had, is if we don't find a way to transfer that knowledge to our young people, we're going to have a generation of knowledge that just exits the industry where that knowledge is not transferred. And so, again, finding those means and methods to allow that transfer of knowledge to our next generation of up-and-coming construction professionals, I think is one of the more paramount tasks that we have currently for 2024 and beyond.
Does that go hand in hand with retention of workers? Because even if you've got workers who are ingrained in in the knowledge that you want them to have, maybe they only stick around for a couple of years, and then you've got to retrain somebody else. So that is that a big issue in your mind?
It is, you have a lot of potential turnover just because you have, like we talked about, the exodus of our older generation, but we don't have a large pool of people that are up and coming to fulfill the gap that we're going to see within that exodus. And so the training piece of it certainly is going to be important, getting young people excited about construction. I think one of my favorite quotes that I've had in regards to training ties back to one that Henry Ford himself had said, and it says, "The only thing worse than training your employees and having them leave is not training them and having them stay." So it's really twofold. I mean, we have to invest in our employees, despite the fact that certainly when you're dealing with people are going to always have their own opinions and ideas. But working through that, investing in them early on, and making sure that that continues throughout their employment, I think that's when you see the possibility of retention of those employees for the long term.
Yeah, because it's not just about money, right? I mean, it's I think for newer workers to want to stick around, if there's got to be some sort of I guess a chance at advancement and things like that, correct?
Right. They truly want to see a means of progression, but even through that progression of both titles and additional pay, benefits, things like that, throughout that process, they still want to see that the company cares for them as an individual and is taking care of their needs, all encompassing.
Well, Cameron, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been great.
Appreciate it, Jay. Again, thanks for having me on.
All right.
That wraps up episode 198 of EHS on Tap. You can find more information about the show and listen to on-demand episodes at ehsdailyadvisor.blr.com. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get podcasts. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join me next time.